Hey, once again, good morning. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. And if you don't have a Bible in your pew Bible, that's going to be on page 758. John chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 31. While you get flipping, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for this time to gather. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to who Jesus says that he is. We even see the disciples and all manner of people within the scriptures who are face to face with Jesus on a daily basis and have no idea who he is. And so as we come into this season of Advent, that is the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we simply bow before you and ask you to reveal yourself, to reveal your Son to us through your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham. Yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him, I know him. If I were to say I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Perhaps one of the most important question in our day is, who is Jesus? The most important question in our day, and in any day, is, who is Jesus? Well, the best way to find out who someone is to ask them who they are. If given the opportunity to read a biography, that is a book written about someone, or an autobiography, a book written by someone, if I am to know who that person is, I want to hear directly from them. Who do they say that they are? So today, specifically, we're going to see a magnificent claim from Jesus in the midst of what we're just going to call a paternity dispute. There is kind of a cosmic paternity dispute happening, and we're seeing this right here. And Jesus is going to make a fantastic claim of himself. And he's going to say emphatically that he comes from God the Father. So here's what I want to do. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing the I am sayings of Jesus. Who does Jesus say that he is? And so he is going to tell us directly, I am, fill in the blank. Today we are looking at a statement that is a statement of who he is in an exact sense. The other statements are more metaphorical, and we'll see that as we go. But today, let us just suffice it to say, we are going to go in on a journey, on an investigation to find out who Jesus says he is. Every heresy, that is every error that has ever happened in the church, in some way or another, relates to who Jesus Christ is. And on that hangs the difference between life and death, truth and error, and whether your testimony as a Christian is true, or at least salvifically true. So that's what we're here to do. In the Advent season, we know on December 25th, we're going to celebrate a baby that was born in a manger. Well, who is this baby? We know we celebrate the baby's birth, but who is he? Who is he? And I'm going to say, if the people that walk with him on a daily basis looked him in the face and didn't know who he was, we ought to be looking all the deeper to find out who Jesus says he is and our understanding of him. So here we go. In this dispute, so to speak, or this debate or this dialogue, we're going to see kind of seven exchanges. It's really a he said kind of deal. The Jews will say something, Jesus will respond. Jesus will say something, the Jews will respond. And we see this back and forth, and you can feel the tension growing even as it begins. So we're going to see seven exchanges. The first one happens in verses 31 through 33. And forgive me, as I was studying, you know, you see your passage on the screen, and that's true, and that's where I want to put the most emphasis on who Jesus is saying as he is. But if we start there, we miss all this tension and buildup into that statement that Jesus is going to make at the end. So the first exchange starts in 31 through 33 of chapter 8. Jesus kind of says, he makes some assertions. And in 31 he says, if you abide in my word, that's the condition. If a person abides in the word of Christ, here's the result. That person is a disciple of Christ, and it's contingent upon them abiding in Christ's word, but that person is then a disciple of Christ. They will know the truth of Christ, and that person will stand in the freedom in which Christ provides. So if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. There is a direct connection between abiding in the word of Christ and being a disciple of Christ. You can say, I love Jesus all day long with your mouth, but if you're not abiding in his word, there is no integrity to your testimony. It's just air. If you abide in the word of Christ, Then you will know that you are a disciple of Christ, and you will know the truth of Christ. And to know this truth, the truth that's in His Word, results in freedom. Let's look at how the Jews respond in verse 33. They answered Him. They're a little confused. We're offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? A couple things wrong with that statement there by the Jews and the Pharisees. So the Pharisees were a religious elite group of people. They knew the law of Moses. They knew the book. They studied the book. They knew half of this book. They could read the words, understand them, get the proper grammar, but they were missing some things. So Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and that truth, my truth, will set you free. And the Pharisees, the Jews here, who, by the way, the text says they had started to believe, or they believed, but that belief was kind of somewhat shaky. And they get a little upset. They said, hey, we are children of Father Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. A couple things wrong with that, if you know the history and the background. First, they had been enslaved in a socio-political sense. They were in chains. They were under the rule of another. Back in Egypt, they were enslaved under Pharaoh. Pharaoh ruled them. Then you take it on a couple thousand years or what have you. Then they were enslaved in the Assyrian Empire and then in the Babylonian captivity. So what's up? And even now, they're under the boot of the Roman Empire. Their necks are under the boot of the Roman Empire. And Jesus says, look, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they balk at this, and they say, look, I've never been enslaved to anyone. They're distorting reality. First, they're misunderstanding the kind of freedom Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not talking about a physical freedom. He's talking about being released from your spiritual bondage. But even if, like, it doesn't matter. They didn't even get that. They had been enslaved. So this is teaching us something of the nature of sin. And what does it teach us? If we're entrapped, if we're enslaved to sin, we're gonna alter reality, or we're going to confuse it. And that's what the Jews do there. They've been given the conditions and the result of their freedom, and they do not want to hear it. He just said, look, if you do this, if you abide in me, you will know the truth and you will be free. You would think one would just go, yes, I'm going to be free. But they say, no, I've never been a slave to anyone. Do you feel or sense the pride in that? So that's the first exchange. Second, in verses 34 through 39, this is where Jesus is going to clarify the nature of sin, slavery, freedom, and paternal origins. They didn't get it. He said, I'm going to set you free. And they're like, bro, I've never been enslaved. How are you going to set me free when I've never been enslaved? And Jesus is going to clarify a little bit in 34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. There's an expression for this. It's called the bondage of the will. Prior to being given life in Christ, you are enslaved to sin. And here's the deal. You love it. You like it. It's where your home is. Just like the Pharisees there, who when they were given this opportunity for freedom, they said, look, I'm not enslaved. Their sin had so darkened and distorted their hearts, they couldn't even recognize their malady. They were happy where they stood. And so Jesus just affirms that. He says, look, everyone who practices sin is a slave to that sin. But he says, look, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So to practice sin, that is to have a sin nature, is to be in bondage to sin. But here's the deal. Jesus Christ is superior and absolute over that bondage. If Jesus sets a slave to sin free, that person is in fact free. Jesus is superior to sin and death. But here's the deal. Although he's superior over sin and death, he's also the only one who can free a person from the bondage of sin. You cannot do it. The law cannot do it. Your works cannot do it. It's your very nature. It's who you are. It's who I am. And Jesus is going to unpack this some more as we go along. And then look at verse 38, what Jesus says of himself. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. Jesus, when he speaks from his very nature. His nature is of God. And when I say nature, I'm not talking like trees and butterflies. I'm talking about the essence of who someone is. The stuff of who Jesus is. So you have the Pharisees on one side of this dialogue. Their nature is to be of sin. Their nature is of sin. Jesus' nature is of God. He is one person in two natures. He's truly God and he's truly man. And so us as the readers, as we see this, we kind of know the end of the story already, but we need to remind ourselves here. We tend to, when we read the Gospels, these narratives, we tend to like play Where's Waldo and see where do I fall in this game. First, we need to let the story be the story first and then work out the implications. But if we're going to play that game of Where's Waldo, so to speak, where do I fit in this story? There's only two parties. You have the Pharisees on one side and you have Jesus on the other. Let me let you in on a little secret. You're not Jesus. So if you're going to place yourself in this story, and I'm going to place myself in this story, I'm on the Pharisee side of the stick. I'm the one who has that hard, dead heart, who doesn't want to hear the truth, who loves their sin, who enjoys their sin, who doesn't want to recognize that they're in bondage to sin. So if we're going to play that, that's where you and I fall into this storyline. We're enslaved to sin right up until that moment that the Son sets us free. This is the nature of bondage. You cannot free yourself. You cannot break those chains. But we'll pick up more on that here in a second. So Jesus says, look, to practice sin is to be enslaved and bondage to sin. And he continues that idea. But Jesus is superior to that. We see that in verse 35. And then 37 and 38. Jesus is like, you're in bondage to sin and you cannot abide in the word of Christ. He says in 37, I know you're physical offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me. Why did the Jews want to kill Jesus? Because my word, his word, finds no place in you. Those who are in bondage to their sin, the word of truth has no home to set up shop in. Jesus is giving them the words of life, and they have no place for it. The darkness of their heart is so hard. Jesus is giving them the answers to the test, and they will not answer. Sin ravages the heart. But then in 38, he says, I speak of what I have seen with my father. And he's dropping hints along the way, little breadcrumbs of this narrative. He says, I speak from what I have seen with my father. He speaks from a position of authority. But then the Jews on the other side, they're acting out of their sin nature. Jesus says, you do what you have heard from your father. And remember, the Jews are saying, Abraham's my father. And Jesus is saying, no, if you were Abraham's children, you and me would be on good terms. Like, Abraham's on team Jesus. Okay? But they're not given an inch. And it keeps going. In the third exchange, in 39 through 41, this tension continues to build. We're starting to feel the angst between the Jews and Jesus. Verse 39, so they answered him, Abraham is our father. They're not letting up on this. And Jesus is saying, I know you came from the descendant of Abraham, but if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's the work Abraham did. That's in Romans 4:3, and it's first said in Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Here is the very Son of God talking to the Pharisees, and they want to have nothing of what Jesus is telling them. And so Jesus says, look, if you were Abraham's children, if you were from him, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But the Jews wanted to kill Jesus because he was telling them the truth. And then we go on down to 41. You were doing the works your father did. And the Jews come right back. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. So they up the ante. Now it's not Abraham who's their father. It's God that the Jews are claiming to be their father. They don't step down and go, whoa, I'm missing it here. But look what they pick up on. They said, we're not born of sexual immorality. They picked up that Jesus was talking about two different people. And the Jews lean into their lie, they lean into their argument even harder, and they say, look, we're not born of sexual immorality. You cannot, Jesus, tell me we have two fathers. We weren't born that way. We were born from one line. They're still trying to rely on their physical descent or descendants for their salvation. They're relying on things of the flesh. And they're saying, look, we weren't born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. As if claiming Abraham as their own wasn't sufficient enough, now they're going to claim God. So the tension mounts. And that brings us to the fourth exchange. And we see that in 42 through 48. Jesus comes back. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. If you are of God, if you are of the truth, is to love Jesus. To be of God is to love Jesus. Jesus is from God, and he came down from heaven for us and for our salvation. That's who Jesus says he is, and the Pharisees will not have it. And Jesus was sent by the Father, and he was given a mission by the Father. And then Jesus starts to indict the Jews in verses 43 through 44. He says, look, you can't understand me because you cannot bear to hear my word. They cannot take the truth. They recoil back from it. Okay, I'm going to out myself here. When you were a kid, did you ever put salt on a slug? Okay, if you put salt on a slug, that sucker, if you do just a little bit, man, it recoils quick. I mean, it shrieks back. That's kind of what Jesus is saying here of the truth. The truth is hitting the Pharisees, and they're like, it's like stinging them. It's like salt on an open wound. It touches them, and they recoil back from it. The truth is literally hurting them. They cannot bear to hear it. And so here's the deal. The Jews, like us, were born as descendants of Adam. And as descendants of Adam, check out verse 44. Jesus says, "You don't understand what I say. It's because you can't bear to hear my word." And here's why. Verse 44 is key. "You are of your father, the devil. And your will, your desire, is to do your father's desires." We can't be too hard on these Pharisees. They're doing what they're made to do. Their very nature is to lie. They can't stand the truth. It's not in them. And then Jesus gives us this kind of a expose, so to speak, of who the devil is. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And that's who Jesus is saying the Jews here are from. So they claim Abraham and God, and Jesus comes back and says, "No, you got it wrong. You're of your father, the devil." And make no mistake, anybody who is not in Christ is a child of Satan. That's all of our position before a holy God. You're either in Adam, who post-Genesis 3 became a child of Satan. Here's the deal. If there's one person, Adam, Eve, and then we have all this posterity coming down to today, what line of descendants do you think you and I came from? Guess what? We're in the same line of descendants as these Jews sitting right here. And unless we hear that truth of Jesus and he sets us free, we are in bondage and enslaved to sin. And that's where we will stand. And the stakes get even higher as Jesus continues his dialogue. So, here's the deal. When I just called you a son of Satan, how'd that go? When I called you a child of Satan, what was your first response? Did you recoil back and go, "I'm not no child of Satan"? Or did you go, yeah, that's where I came from? This is one of the ways when we're testing the evangelistic water, so to speak, when people respond like that, we'll see how the Jews respond. I'll be honest, first time I got called a child of Satan, I didn't like that. And neither did the Jews. Verse 48. The Jews answered him. You know, if you get into this text, man, you can really see how this conversation is going. They're not winning this debate. And so the more Jesus presses in on who their very nature is, the more they're like, they're running out of arguments. And that's who your father is. If I lie to you now, I jump in with your lot. And I can't do that. My desire is to do the desires of my father, Jesus says. And you cannot hear the truth until he gives you that gift of spiritual sight. You are utterly dependent upon him. Even now, as this conversation is going on, this conversation could just as much be happening between us right now. The Word of God is speaking to you and saying, here's the gospel. Here's where you turn. You turn to me. And yet, the Jews are not backing down. They say, "Jesus, you have a demon. We know you're crazy now." And they're not backing up. And then I want to bring us to the sixth exchange of 54 through 57. And I've already talked about the first two verses. I got ahead of my notes. But in 56, Jesus goes back because he does recognize their physical descent from Abraham. He says, your father rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews coming back once again, who are clearly missing sight of this picture, you are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they picked up rocks to stone him. All he said was, I am. Why'd they want to stone him? Who did Jesus say that he was right there? Jesus at that point says, checkmate. They've been having this dialogue. They've been going back and forth. Jesus says, I come from God and God is my Father. The Jews said, no, that can't work. They call him a demon-possessed man. They call him a harlot, so to speak, saying you were born of harlotry. And Jesus, in all this dialogue, he's showing that he is of the Father. He's saying the truth comes from me, all these things. And they keep pressing and pressing and pressing. And finally, in his last claim in this argument, he says, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. Who does Jesus say that he is? Well, let's go back to our reading from this morning that Brother Greg read. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, or verse 11. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring children of Israel out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, Moses, and you shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So here's the deal. Moses is talking to God. He's back and forth. He's talking to God. God's in the burning bush that is not being consumed with fire. This is who Moses is talking to. Then God says back to Moses, I am who I am. God says to Moses, I am who I am. I will be what I will be. Before Abraham was, I am. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the I am. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, and there was. When God speaks, God does. And this is who Jesus claims to be. Jesus emphatically says that he comes from the Father, and that he and the Father are one. And that to dishonor Jesus is to dishonor God the Father. And to not love Jesus is to have no relationship with God. You can't sidestep this. Although Jesus was the prophet, he was far more than a prophet. So as we draw our attention to this Advent season, and as we're talking in the communities, hopefully, about this babe born in a manger who took on flesh and dwelt among us, understanding it was Yahweh who came to that manger. It was God who took on flesh and came down from heaven for us and for our salvation. This is why we celebrate some Jew born in a manger with filth and dirt and cow dung likely all over the place. That was not pretty. But we celebrate it. And angels sing praises to it. And shepherds bow down. Kings bow before this baby. So as we seek this Advent season and we seek to know who Jesus is, remember, He is who He is. Let's pray. Father, who are we that you should be mindful of us? Who are we that you should send your Son to die, to pay the ransom for the sins that we committed, to live a life of perfection that we, on repeat, have not only not lived, but said we don't want to live it. And yet He took our place. He came and took our stead. He took the curse that we should have bore. Who are we, Lord, that you should be mindful of us in such a way? And yet you have. And so we come with hearts of gratitude. Lord, I pray that each person in this room, if they have not known the I Am, if they have not known Jesus as He says He is, that you might cause the light to shine in their hearts. It's in His beautiful name we pray. Amen.